Okay, so we are traveling on Friday. We are going to Asia, to Philippines. It's in the Southeast Asia, in the island. I've had the burden to go. Last year I was to go, but God said you can't go. And the reason, my father-in-law died a few days after, so I had to be around. So I knew why I couldn't go last year. So this year, the door has opened, so we'll be in Philippines. The brethren there have a Bible school. Well, it's not, the capital is Manila. It's a Catholic-based place. But there are brethren there. There are many islands. So in one of the regions, that's where they have the brethren, and they have a Bible school, and you know, there's also a school, a Christian school, that is being supported by the brethren. I happen to have adopted, in quotes, one of the children, so I send $50 every month. So if you're interested, go to the kingdom, go to well, you can come to the Living Bread website, or Reaching Beyond World, any of those, or New Hope International, or you know, one of those, and then you can click on it and indicate if you want to adopt one of the children, and then you can be sending $50 a month. They send you a report and so on. Okay, so that's about that. So we'll be there from the, we're going on the 19th, we'll be there till 28th for the conference, and then in the, you know, going to the Bible school. Bible school is not the type of this, it's just that the brother felt that to get young people together and teach them, you know, the things of God. So they study pattern and study, so it's not the other type, this is, you know, the brethren. So that's about Philippines. Brother Mark will be staying back for another 6 months. I don't know. I think he will stay up to April. So for February, almost like 2 months. It's a long time. So he'll be staying behind when we leave. Brother George, myself, brother, well, some of the other brethren, you may not know. Brother Paul, Brother Martin from Czech Republic. Sister Pavlina, I don't know if you know, so we'll be there. Robert was going to come, but he couldn't make it. So that's for Czech Republic. So let's pray. That's why I said bring your Bible and write down the date. Czech, no, Philippines. From 20th to 28th of February. The rest, I'm traveling on the 15th to London. I'll get a rest small. Then on Tuesday, only about 3 days rest or 4 days rest. Then Tuesday we'll start. It's a 17-hour journey, so we have to stop in Dubai, change plane, and then go, then come back again, stop in Dubai, and then change plane, and then go to London. So it's to and from. It's about, if you are flying, it's difficult. Maybe Korean Air, but you still have to go to Seoul. So it's about something, maybe it's only more than 24 hours, depending on how you go. You know, so it's a long journey, minimum 17 hours of flying. So 10 hours to Dubai, then another 7 hours. So your brother needs a lot of prayer to fly. So please, and then while we are there, if you have any words, dreams, revelation, advice, or whatever it is, or what you feel we should share with the brethren, just send a text message or an email. I'll be very glad to hear from you, and then I will say, this is from Port Harcourt. They say this is what the Lord is saying, and then we will share it. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Are you not happy that your voice will be heard there? Okay, so that is the Philippines. But Abbott has had the revelation that, in fact, when he went to Philippines, he felt He felt the lion crying out to him. So it was very clear. God opened the door. And then while he was there, somebody came from Australia and said, "We want you to come to Australia." But that door has not opened. We are still praying for a door in Australia. It hasn't come. Although there appears to be a little crack, but it's not yet a door. Because on the Living Bread website, I noticed that suddenly we have a lot of people who are coming online from Australia. A lot, about 14, which is one of the biggest places. So we know there are people who are looking at the materials. So we believe that a door will soon open into Australia, because it's just next door, not far. So we'll be back now on the 3rd. Then on the 8th of March, we'll be going to Uganda. Have you seen it? 8th of March to Uganda. Brother, do you have it in your mind? 8th of March. Write it down so you can pray that. So. Okay, it's on the website. Okay, so 8th of March, we'll be going to Uganda. God has given us a new strategy in East Africa. So before, we used to go and come back, but God says we should send somebody on the ground, and then we'll do there what we did in Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, we were going to different churches, but we were trying to start a small group. Right now, there's a group that is established. So that's what we're going to do in Uganda. We're going to send somebody there. Sister Beauty is there, but we're going to send another person, and then hopefully we'll be able to start something. So that's what God said we should do. And hopefully that can spread into Kenya, Tanzania, Burundi, all the other countries. So Brother Ogan will be coming along. So we'll meet, somehow we'll be meeting. So you have to pray for him, because he needs to get his visa, get his papers, a lot of logistics. So he's bought his ticket, so I know he should be going, unless he cancels the ticket. So he has his ticket, I have my ticket. Brother Barry, hopefully, he should get his ticket. And then Brother Gan should also get his ticket. So that should make four. For there may be one or two other people, like, we don't know. But the work, we're not quite sure. His work situation, and maybe one or two extra, I don't know. So that mission is from 8th to the 14th of March in Uganda. Again, we're praying. We need to pray that God will raise up. We need people who understand this vision. Most of them, when you go and preach, after you finish preaching, they will say pastor and still stay in their church. You know, they are not. They are afraid to. The Ugandans, the East African people, they are not like Nigerians. They are afraid to take a risk. They like to, you know, stay in their comfort zone. But we in Nigeria, if you talk, we are ready to go anywhere, anytime. But they are not that adventurous, so it's affecting them. When you talk, they like to still stay in their comfortable environment. So it's affecting the ministry in East Africa. So we are praying that God really help us. We believe that there's a remnant. There are people there who understand this word. So pray that God will lead us to them, and then we can really have a true response to this word of the kingdom. So we have a ministry in Kampala, and then hopefully in the region. Last time we went to right into the mountain, into a village, you know, and that was where we had ministry. It was good. So hopefully, I don't know what they are planning. We might be going back there. That was where we had the Face Me and Face You Hotel. Have you been to Face Me and Face You Hotel? Okay. Isaac Hotel, after me, that's the hotel about Tokyo. You know, where you and bedbug and rat and cockroach will be sharing the same room. So, this one is something like that. So they shouted, we said, but our boss cannot sleep in this place. So we said, God, have mercy on us. And then we'll find somewhere a little bit more comfortable. So we have to relocate. So I hope, I don't know where it is, what is there, but that is going to be the ministry. Then on the 14th, we're leaving Uganda. We're going to Malawi. That door just opened into Malawi. Malawi is a very small country, just in the border of Uganda, Congo, Rwanda, that area. Okay, and so the door has opened. It's the first time we're going there, so we need to pray. There is somebody there who really wants the word. It's a pastor, but he's opened the door. So let's hope that maybe they might act differently, that God will raise a people who will receive the word. So we need to pray. It's our first time there. Then from the where we stay there for just 4 days, from 14th to 18th of March. Then on the 19th, we are coming back to Kenya, and then in Kenya we'll be having meetings. Now, I spoke with Brother Paul 2 days ago. So I said, how far the arrangement? Now, the arrangement, Brother Paul is in Njoro, which is like 3 hours by bus up the hill into the mountain, very close to Lake Victoria. It's like 1 hour from Lake Victoria. We had a meeting with the pastors, bishops, all the big men last year. It was very good. For the first time, some of them, they sat down. We had like 4 or 5 days of going into the world, teaching tabernacle. It was like first time for them. And they said they want it. But again, they're still in their churches. But, well, we're still believing that God will reach to them. But there's a problem in Kenya this time around. They are having elections. Yesterday, they had the first televised presidential debate. They never had this before. You take it for granted. Their own was the first time they had a presidential debate televised. And you know, in 2010, you know what happened in Kenya when they had the last election? It was post-election violence. It killed a lot of people. So he's saying, I remember Brother Paul, he shared with us his testimony that, well, that is, the election is on the 4th of March, and when we'll be going, it will be after the election. So he says, well, let us watch the so in my mind we're praying, are we still going to go to Njoro or not, or do we stay in Nairobi? So that's a prayer point. We need to know what God is saying. Do we still go there, or do we stay just in Nairobi, for ministry? Brother Alfred, who's in Nairobi, is with us. I spoke to him, and they've already planned the meeting. We're supposed to be there from that 19th to 22nd. Then we'll go to we'll go up north to Njoro. But if the Lord says otherwise, that's all we need you to pray and to, you know, we need counsel. That means we will not go up north. We'll just stay in Nairobi, and then that means there will be meeting from the 20th up till the 26th. You know, the meeting 20th to 26th, when the mission will end. So on the 26th, the meeting will. So we are staying in Kenya from 19th to 26th. We are flying out on 26th night. So we need direction. Remember last time we were in Kenya, we are going to go to Mombasa, and then we had a grenade attack in Mombasa. So we couldn't go to Mombasa, we had to change our ticket and fly out the next day. So Kenya is like northern, the way Boko Haram is what is operating in up north, that's how they're operating in Kenya. The Muslims, they want their own country. They want Sharia law. They want so many things. So we need to pray. And this year, Isaac has been, you know, telling us we should go to Mombasa. It hasn't been possible. I don't know if this will be an opportunity. I don't know. So we really need to hear from God. What is God saying? What do we do? You know, and so the places to go in Kenya. So that is the prayer burden. So 8 to 14, Uganda. 14 to 19, Malawi. Then 19 to 26, we have Kenya. So those are the dates. Please keep us in prayer. We really need all the prayer we can get. Then on the 26th, we are going back to England. And then from the 28th, we will arrive on the 27th morning. So we just have a few hours of rest. On the 28th, we'll be having a teaching conference. And the topic of the conference is Tabernacle. Amen. Say amen. I thought you would shout amen. Well, it has not been, I'm not aware that it has been taught the way you have heard it. You have not had time. Maybe the early times when Brother Seth was going, there was just a small handful of young sisters and used to minister. I don't think that there has been a time of really ministering that word. So that conference is going to be over the Easter period, 28th up to the 1st of April. Okay, so it's an international conference. The brethren in Luton, there are different fellowships in England. You have brethren who are in London, where Boma is, and then you have brethren who are in Luton, where we are now living, and then you have people who are in Coventry, where Brother Tony lives. Coventry is close to Birmingham, so they have one fellowship. And then we have brethren who are in Manchester, which is up north. So there are different fellowships. So this is the fellowship in Luton that is organizing this conference. So those of you who have visas to England, please put it on your plan. As many of us who can be there will be good. There are brethren, many brethren coming from the US. A lot of brethren are coming from the Czech Republic. Some may be coming from Europe. And we hope that there will be a lot of us going from Africa. So it's going to be coming together. So we're hoping that the object is that we want to reach the English people. You know, we don't want to preach it to Nigerians. We want the real English people. So Brakayo, he wanted to put the thing on the radio, go to they will go to the streets and give out handbills and invite people. So there are going to be personal invitations. The other time we went to a pub, a restaurant to preach. So there's going to be that kind of thing to try to reach people one-on-one on radio, make announcements. So we're hoping that the English people can come. And that will be in that place. There used to be there was a revival in the middle centuries. Luton is like, it's like Nigeria. On the street, you can have about 10 churches. So they said there was a big revival, and there are lots of Christians. You find them. But they are just, many of them are old people. They're just, you know, in the old Anglican thing and all that. So we're hoping that there will be a fresh revival, an outreach, an outpouring again in that place. So we're really hopeful that we can reach the English people with the word. I shared this before, I just shared a little word. But I bought, when he was in England one time, he was walking on the seashore, and God told him, I owe a debt to the English people. He said, God, what do you mean? How can you be indebted? He said, I am indebted to the English people. He said, why? Because they shed a lot of their blood to bring the gospel to us. I thought you'd say amen. Okay, and of course the Bible we're reading today was produced by King James. If you know the history of that Bible, when you carry it, you're walking softly. Many people paid with their lives. What's the name of that man?
John Hall.
What's the other one? That's me. Wycliffe. John Wycliffe. What's the other one that you always watch the film? Tyndale. We like Tyndale. These are all killed, martyred because of that Bible. So God says He owes a debt to the English people. Amen. Unfortunately, when we grow over there, we will begin to be English people. And we forget to preach to them. Amen. The people lack magic. I've never seen the people that lack magic like English people. Magic is in their blood. They like witch, anything witch, sorcery. Hey, they are alive. So you think you know juju, go there, or you go meet heaven. Amen. There was a joke, but I told him made a joke. He said, when the Oyibo man came to Africa, they told the African man to go and build a bridge over River Niger. He told the man, said, my water is River Niger. I cannot build it. When the Oyibo man came there, he went to the juju man and said, my friend, I'm your senior brother. I'm your senior brother juju. So calm down. Before they close the eye, the bridge has been built. Before they could open their eyes, the man has finished building the bridge. So the juju they have there, this one here is small. When the Romans came into England, they ran away. They used sorcery and witchcraft and drove them out of the land. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So that is the place. Macbeth. The last Olympic, they say a man called, what was that man's name? I forgot his name. He wrote a poem. He said, on the satanic hills of England. Everything they did in the Olympics was Satan worship. Everything. The opening and closing ceremony, everything was a ritual. Everything. Nothing was missed. Yeah, what? No, who said football is not idolatry? Football is a heavy idolatry. When I watch it, I say, God, remember your son to deliver me. Say amen now. Huh? Okay, only one man said amen. God should deliver me from football. Amen. Okay, so that's about England. So you see, there are many. So that conference is ending on the 1st. And then we'll rest a little bit, and then she'll be back on the 6th. So that is the itinerary. What? Meeting meeting is from 28th Thursday to Monday, 1st of April. 28th March, Monday, 1st of April. There's going to be another mission to Gabon. Brother Yago is going to go with one or two other persons to Gabon. Brother Yago, is it March or April? Okay, April. So there's going to be a mission to April. Mission to Gabon in April. Okay, by Briago and others. Okay, so these are the ones. There could be one or two others that could come up in this period. But those are the missions that we have. So you can see, there's a lot to pray about. So please, mark it in your calendar. And as you pray, take it before the Lord. If you can fast and pray, that would be great. And then if you have a word, you have a dream, please don't keep it. Share it. Because it could be the difference between life and death. It could be the difference of really ministering life or just doing routine. So we believe that the brethren, that is from the body, will come a word. You know, God will speak to us and He will give a direction. So even though you are not physically there, but you can be very much present in all the missions. So please, take it seriously. And then let us engage ourselves in it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I want to share just briefly before we pray from the book of Exodus, Exodus 12. There's something that happened in Exodus. What is it? What was important thing that happened in Exodus? Chibokim, what is it that happened in Exodus 12? This. Yeah, I thought all of you know it now. What is it that happened in Exodus? That's the word, Passover. Amen. You know, Passover is a story that took place in Exodus. Amen. But you know, many of us take it for granted, but I tell you something. Passover is coming back. It's becoming an issue. That's what God is saying. He's talking about Passover. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
You know, there are three feasts of the Lord. There are three. The feasts of the Lord are seasons of God's visitation. Amen. There are seasons of God's visitation. You know, I sat down there and God was speaking to me about Melchizedek. Do you know Jesus was Melchizedek? It was when we were talking that God was, you know, just, I was looking at you and I was saying, this man is like Melchizedek. Do you know what? Jesus, God, you see, God, there was no story of vision or for you to imagine it. He sent a man into our midst. And that man, the Bible says, is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He was like this brother. He was walking around, eating with people, going to work, see his time. That one was a carpenter. He did everything. Yet he was Melchizedek in their midst. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand. You see, we're looking at these things and we are imagining things that God hasn't given to us. He has already given us. Now, just as you are, you're not going to be anything different. Jesus was just a normal man. But that man was called and made a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And while he was among them as a carpenter, he was a priest. And he functioned and walked among them. Look, there are two ways in which Melchizedek was manifested on the earth. The first one was that God gave him a body. Amen. God gave him a body. He said, a body has thou prepared for me. He had a body. So anytime he wanted, he could manifest himself on that body. So he came and met Abraham, says, gave him bread and wine. Hallelujah. And he ate. And they say he was the king of peace, the king of salvation. He didn't have the beginning of days. You understand? He didn't have the beginning of days. He just arrived on the scene. Amen. They saw one day, they saw a priest moved into the place. He said, what's your name? My name is Melchizedek. Say amen now. Say amen now.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just say amen. Hallelujah. One day, Melchizedek came into the place. So what is your name? My name is Melchizedek. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He appeared on the scene. Hallelujah. And he began to function amongst them as a priest of the Most High God. Amen. And when it was necessary, he went back. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the next time Melchizedek came on the earth was, he was born by a woman. Just like you are born by a woman. So you are going to grow into Melchizedek. Oh my God. Something is about to happen. I don't know if you understand. You know, our problem is religion of end time and Pentecost. The God, you know, Isaac was saying, God told him, preach Babylon. Brother, I'm preaching Babylon. No? We need to come out of Babylon. Is it not true, brother? We have left 119 Agri Road, but we are still in Babylon. We have left 119 Agri Road, but we are still in Babylon in our mind. We need to come out of Babylon.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So the man was born of a woman. And that's how you are going to be born. You are already born. But you are going to grow into Melchizedek. Because our priesthood is according to the order of what? Melchizedek. Amen. I'm about to say that the son abided a priest forever. If you say you want to be a son, what you are saying that you will be a priest forever. Don't you understand?
Right.
Sons are priests. They are not doctors like me. If very soon I will soon remove this doctor and give them. I say, take as a priest. According to the order of Amen. Say amen. That's my inheritance. Amen. Melchizedek is a normal man. He said, this man is at the right hand of the majesty on high. Brother, did you read it? Hebrews chapter 8. I don't have time. He said that this man, the summary of what we're saying is that there is such a sanctuary in heaven. And that there is a man who is a minister of the sanctuary where God made. Do you know the sanctuary he's talking about? It's you. Man is the sanctuary. Heaven and earth is in you. He said that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. You know, I'm going out of my message. Now, so we're talking about Passover. Passover is part of the tabernacles. You know, the first feast was Passover. Second one is Pentecost. Now, we have reached Pentecost, we don't want to move again. Amen. God said, move on. And then when you come into tabernacle, you find out that both Pentecost and tabernacle are part of, Passover are part of the last feast. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at Exodus 12. If you read from verse 1, it's talking about the Passover. He says you will get a lamb for a family. You will bring all the people together, and then you will kill the Passover lamb. Okay? Now, there are a few important issues, points about this Passover meal. The first one was that all the meal is eaten. Nothing is left till the morning. That is very, very instructive. The meal that was cooked, you finish it there. Hallelujah. Now, the second point was that when they were eating it, they had their staff in their hand. And they had their loins gathered. And they had the shoe on their feet. And the Bible says that they will eat it with what? Heads. So these were important points. They had to eat it with heads. Herbs speaks of bitter herbs, speaks of repentance. They had the staff in their hand. A man who has a staff, who is wearing a traveling shoe, has his loins gathered. You know he's not sitting there, he's on a journey. Now, what is that journey? It's a journey out of Egypt. Amen. It's a journey out of Egypt. And we have been told, a journey without destination is wandering. Amen. If you are on a journey, you don't have destination, then you are wandering. You're not really traveling. You are going, just moving around. But you must have a destination. Amen. And the destination of Passover is tabernacles. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are coming out of Egypt. We're not just going to come out and walk around with them. We are going into the promised land. Amen. We are coming out of Egypt and we are coming into a land inhabited, the promised land. Amen. That promised land is the kingdom of light. We are coming out of darkness and we are going into light. So that means the darkness must be taken, every day darkness must be going out of our lives. So the question I'm asking you, do you have a journey? Are you on a journey? Do you have your staff in your hand? By the way, it is the journey of the soul. The soul must be taken out of hell, out of darkness, out of Egypt. And it must have a destination. It is being taken into the kingdom of light. It is going to Zion. Amen. There is a city where we are going to. I said that this city, whose maker and builder is what? God. Do you have a journey? You know, that's why SU people, they say they are pilgrims. HUP Green Group. Because they realize that they are on a journey. And when you're on a journey, you cannot settle anywhere, is it not so?
You may
talk about them, but they had a focus. We end time people, what's our own focus? Where are we going to? You know, so you must have a journey. So if you say you are taking part of Passover, good. From Egypt, where? To Zion. So he said that we are come to Zion, the city of the living God. God is a spirit and God is light. Don't you understand? So if you are coming into light, then you must put away the garments of darkness. Amen. The soul must change. You see, one of the rules of priesthood is that for you to function as a priest, you must have a uniform. You must have garments. Amen. The next time when you go to your village, ask them to show you the house of the native doctor. Go there. The man will not be wearing trousers. Does the native doctor wear trousers in your village? Huh? Does the native doctor wear trousers in your place? He has a garment. Hallelujah. So when you are in Egypt, the soul in Egypt has a garment. And when you are coming into Zion, you must remove the garment of the nature of darkness and you must put on the nature of light. There must be a change. So if you are not changing, then you are not on a journey. Don't you understand? We are playing church. You may be coming here every Sunday, every Wednesday, suffer, you will eat, come and eat granite and biscuit on the road. But you are not on the journey, you are just wandering around the wilderness. No change. Because no purpose. So my people are destroyed for lack of a vision. So what is their vision? So Passover, many of us say we have taken part of Passover. Well, it's coming back again. It is a journey out of Egypt. You know? In Egypt, there were 12 plagues. Sorry, there were 10 plagues. There are 10 levels of dealing with the gods, with the strongholds, with the principalities that ruled over Egypt. Egypt has rulers. You know, like they say Nibor. And then when Obode, when? Is it not so, brother? Where are the evil people? Brother. And then when Obode, when? And then when Obode, when? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. You know what it means? In any land, there are people who own it. Egypt has rulers. And if you are going to come out of Egypt, you must pay toll. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a beast, there is a king that rules over that realm. And the people there are in his prison house. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. Somebody who is stronger than that spirit must come and release, and that's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Don't you understand? He came and paid the price. So what is the price? What do you want? Say, this is it. Oh yeah, release them. Amen. But you must decide that you must leave Egypt. Amen. If you say you like Egypt, they say fine, bring your ear. That means you no longer hear the trumpet. You no longer hear that trumpet of jubilee. They can shout it from today to tomorrow. Write it, talk it everywhere. The man doesn't know that it's time to leave because he is comfortable in Egypt. Are you comfortable in Egypt? In your soul, are you? Is there a fire burning in you? You say, no, I'm going home. The problem is not that you are a prodigal son. The problem is, are you hearing the trumpet cry? Hallelujah. They say it is time to return home. You know, one of the things that was remarkable about the Jews around from 1860 in the 1800s, when they were suffering, was that every day they would say, next year, where? In Jerusalem. It was a disease. You know, they called it the land of Israel, Ere Israel. The land of Israel. It was an incurable disease. Wherever they were, they want to go to Israel. Whether they were doctors or they were lawyers or anything, they abandoned it. Enter the ship, enter by road. They kill them, threw them, put them in gas chamber. They forget it. I am going to Israel. Hallelujah. That is the kind of thing that we should be having. That is, we have a burden to come out of Egypt and to go into Zion. Hallelujah. I mean, that's Zion. It's the city of the Most High God. It's a beautiful for situation. It's Mount Zion. And by the way, Zion was a city that is still there in Jerusalem, isn't it also? So everything we are telling you is not, it's still on earth. Hallelujah. There are natural things that you can relate to. So there must be a journey from Egypt to Zion. Are you on that journey? Is your feet shod? You say, with the preparation of the gospel, that means you are ready to come out of darkness. You are no longer comfortable in darkness. Your soul is not comfortable in darkness. No matter what they give you on this earth, he said, no. I want Zion. I want to come to Zion. He says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house. There is something in you that is burning. He said, oh God, say, my heart longed and fainted for thy courts, oh Lord. He said, how lovely is thy dwelling place, oh Lord. That is, there is a cry in you that, whether they give you PhD, they give you wife, they give you husband, give you children, buy a car for you, put food in your mouth, give you 10 million naira there as we were giving them last night. Israel. Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what they give you, Zion. Hallelujah. It's time to be pilgrim. Thank you for the 10 million naira that I'm a pilgrim. Hallelujah. That is someone that has a vision. Whatever they are giving, they give you. Say, Israel next year. Hallelujah. So many of us are settling down. Maybe you are not hearing the trumpet again. But I'm telling you, trumpet is even louder now than before. So you said that my heart has heard the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Yes, war. So it's a wound to him that is at ease in Zion. Amen. See, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought. That is what Zion is going through. There's a traveling. What is the traveling? Say, I'm going back. I'm returning to my father's house. I'm going back to my inheritance. Amen. Now, you know, I don't have time to show you, but, you know, when you go to Hebrews, when he was talking about this journey from Israel, God said, look, I'm going to make a new covenant with you, not according to the covenant I made with your fathers. You know, we are still talking about that experience of Egypt. But God said, even that one, I have gone forward. He said, look, I'm going to make a new covenant, not the covenant that I made with your fathers in Egypt, when I took them by the hand to take them out. The purpose of the covenant is to bring you out. That is the purpose of the covenant, to come out of Egypt. By the way, it says that our Lord was crucified where? In Sodom, and what? In Egypt. Egypt is the place that was crucified the people of God. So if you are there and you are the king in Egypt, check it very well. Amen. It says, if they persecuted their Lord, I called him Beelzebub. What shall they call you? So you're a very good brother. He's a very good man. He is one of us. So that means the salt has lost it. Eh? The salt has lost it. Devil. You are losing your taste. You are losing your identity. Amen. If they say your master is Beelzebub, you now, what will they call you? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so the first covenant says, I'm taking you out of Egypt. And that's a first covenant says, this covenant I'm making is just for the body. Hebrews says that covenant could not address the real issue. It could just address the purifying of the flesh. Every year the man has to go again because he didn't address the main problem. The real problem of man is the problem of the soul. The problem of man is the problem of the soul. How many people have a brain here? You have brain. See my brain now. My brain coordinates my body. Okay, my brother said every human being has brain. But there's something special about brain. Your brain coordinates your what? Body. We medical people, we have what they call peripheral nervous system. That is the part of the brain that deals with your surroundings. If there's any problem with there, you are there and you sit down. If I touch you, you don't know I'm touching you. Don't you understand? If the ones that come to your nose, there's a problem. If they bring the best soup, the best okazi soup, you will walk away. You will not go and sit down. You will not go and eat it because you can't sense it. The control is on the brain. Don't you understand? Somebody is talking and shouting. If that nerve that comes to your is blocked, forget it. You will not hear that sweet sound, that sweet song. You will not hear it. What am I saying? The brain is a coordination center. And that brain is linked to your mind. You know, there are some things we have there. They say they control your mood. They control your mood. When there is too much of some particular chemicals, you feel depressed. When there are too much, the man is excited. He means, my name is President Jonathan. I'm the president of Nigeria. The man has not crossed Abar Road. But he meets him, he's always talking big. So I'm the president of Nigeria. In fact, my father is the king of the world. You know there's a problem with you. Why? There are some chemicals in his body that are working over time. Now, what am I saying? Even with the body affects the mind. So this brain has connection with the mind. Amen. What are we trying to say? Let us stop deceiving ourselves. Let us stop deceiving. The mind was made to be a sensory organ. That is, it is able to receive life from the spirit and receive life from the flesh. That is what your soul is about. So your soul is connected to your body. Your soul is also connected to the spirit. Amen. That's what you call the conscious mind. You call it conscience. Is it not so? Now your conscience tells you what is wrong and what is right. Say, this one is wrong. This one is right. Amen. And the Bible says that the new covenant was made by God to address your conscience. The Bible says that the purpose of the new is to purge the conscience from what? Evil works. From dead works. To serve the living God. That is Passover. And I don't know if you understand. That is the Passover. There must be a Passover within. The darkness that is within the soul must come out of it and come into the true light. Hallelujah. Now, there is something about the Passover. The Bible says on the day of atonement, you must begin to afflict the soul. And you know, now we have come to that day of atonement. We have come to the time when the soul must be afflicted. In other words, this is the time when the blood is going to be applied in the soul. This is when deliverance is going to come to my loins. This is when the deliverance is going to come to my nature, to my desires, to my will. Amen. So it's not just enough to say, I am end time. Paul said, if you have faith, show me by your works. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
I know you are tired. He says, if you say you have faith, no problem, brother. Show me your faith by your works. So end time people, if you are end time, show your works. Show the change in your soul. Amen.
Amen.
The new covenant says, I will make a new covenant. I will put my law. Where? In their mind. So when you think of the new covenant, there's only one word to think of. What's the word? Mind. Hallelujah. You think of your mind. See, I'll write it in their heart. The mind has a connection to your emotion, has a connection to your will, and has a connection to your desire. Naturally, not to talk of the spiritual connection. So when you think of the mind and the heart, they go together, even though they are separate. The heart means where the will, the emotion, the four parts, where they function together. But you see, the mind is the where they congregate and function. Amen. So when you see the odara, what happens? Your mouth begins to water. You want it. You desire it. You smell it. You say, "Oh yeah, Lucy, please buy that odara for me." Amen. So with your mind, Isaac will leave us here in the parlor and go to the kitchen. Before we know what the brother is doing something in the kitchen, comes out, he says, "Hey, how are you?" He has got to do something in the kitchen though, because he smelled something. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
The mind, brethren, that is, we are losing the battle in our mind. You come in here, see the way you are sitting. Why? Because the devil is telling you one, giving you one story in your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we are going to win this war, we win it in the mind. Say amen. I didn't hear amen. If you are going to win this war, we will win it in the mind. The blood is for the mind. Say, I will put my law in their inward parts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That is the Jubilee. And that is the Passover. And he says, on the day of atonement, we must begin to afflict the soul. The mind has been wandering, you know, get involved in things you shouldn't get involved. Hallelujah. But it says, when you eat the Passover, you must get their loins. And you know, the loins is associated with truth. So you have your loins gathered with what? Truth. I said there must be truth in the inward part. The inward part speaks of the mind. The mind is the highest dimension. And I'm telling you about cloud computing, your phones. Your phones are working on the principle of the mind. It's on the frequency of thought. You capture it on the phone. But I want to tell you that there is another frequency which is higher. And that is the frequency of God. Amen.
Amen.
Paul got to that frequency, he began to hear words. Amen.
Amen.
God wants us to rise. The Bible says that the God of this world has what? Darkened, has blinded their mind. You know what that means? It means that the mind of man has come down so low in the frequency. Amen. But the purpose of God is to raise it, you know, through the frequencies. Let us not deceive ourselves. We must come out of the outer court. That's where we are. The man that is in the holy place will be walking by a new standard. What is that standard? He must have an inner light. There must be a light within him. That's what the lampstand. There are seven lamps of fire burning. What do you think? They say that those are the seven spirits of the Lord, giving light. And I'm asking you, do you have light within you? You know? In the Old Testament, he said the high priest, the only thing that makes you a priest is that you must have the Urim and the Thummim. You must have the effort. He said, bring the priest that has what? The Urim and the Thummim. When Saul was in trouble, the Bible says, he went to God. Said, the Lord did not answer him by dreams, by vision, by the Urim, or by the prophet. There was no words. Amen. In the New Testament, there is a new Urim. It is the Holy Ghost. It's an inner light. Hallelujah. That tells you, David went to the Lord, said, Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Would you give them into my hand? He said, I will not give them into thy hand. What do I do? Pack your load and run away. 2 hours later, Saul came to the place. Yes, where is David? He said, he has run away. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, the days of simplicity are over. The days of what? Simplicity. Say, a simple man. He doesn't have any light. He's just walking anyway. You cannot be walking anyhow. There must be a light. There must be a word. That's what makes you a holy place person. You are not even rich, but you have gone a step further. There is an inner light. There is an inner one. There is an inner direction. That is the work of the Holy Ghost. To give light to the soul. To give light and direction to you. Amen. And then the lampstand. The purpose of the shewbread is to begin to judge the strongholds. Because say on the fourth day he made bright light. To give light upon the earth. That is the shewbread. Light. The entrance of the world bringeth light. Some of us are struggling with strongholds. You need an inner word. You need strength. You need energy. Hallelujah. A spirit comes to you and he knocks you and says, oh yeah, now you must do this. You need energy to say, no, it is written. Don't you understand? And you say, you cannot say, you cannot resist except by the Holy Ghost. You can't say that Jesus is Lord except you have a higher order. Say, it is written. This is what the Lord says. Amen. Hallelujah. The third day and the 4 days of creation are the experiences of the lampstand and the shewbread. The third and fourth station in the tabernacle. Now, on the fifth day, it says he began to bring forth creatures from the sea. What does the sea speak of? Humanity. It speaks of flesh, whoredoms. If you are going to overcome whoredom, my brother, on the fifth day, and the one that is flying in the air, birds, unclean spirits. The Holy Spirit is represented by the picture of a dove. Isn't that so? Isn't that what you could do? Say yes now. Ah. The unclean spirits, they flow in the air. You cannot overcome them if you have not received light on the fourth day. Don't you understand? You need the light of the world to overcome the darkness. It says, he made great light so that you might rule over the day and over the night. There are spirits that rule in those dimensions. Then on the sixth day, there were great beasts on the earth. Don't you understand? The lions. There's a lion. Look now. Don't sleep now. There's a lion here. Why are you people sleeping now? Angela, look at me now. There's a lion here. Where is the lion, sister? Hallelujah. There is a lion. But when you go to Isaiah 11, it says the lion was lying down calmly in his right mind. Don't you understand? Amen. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The picture must change. This lion here must be tamed. The lion must be tamed. The only way the lion can be tamed, he needs light, he needs energy, he needs... He said, wisdom has slain her beast. That violence must be taken away. The nature must be changed. Hallelujah. And that is why he said, I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in the inward part. I will deal with the nature of darkness. Hallelujah. I say, then you will be my people, and I will be your God. The people of God are those who have the new covenant, are those whose natures are changed. The lions have been changed. The madman was not in his right mind. Amen. So I'm going to end to say that it's a new journey. Yes, there will be a question in this one. There's a new journey out of Babylon. Amen. We have come out of Babylon by name. It's now time to come in out of Babylon within our nature. Amen. Church and religion can also be in this place. Amen. You're coming every week, but you don't have a journey. You don't have a destination. There's no change. Show me thy faith by your works. Amen. You say you are end time. Bring forth your works.
End time is new covenant. Bring forth your works. Where is the change within the soul? Praise the Lord.
Okay, it is annoying. I wanted to ask a question.
Lungs.
Yes.
Getting your lungs.
Yes.
With truth.
Yes.
Okay, well, it's because of time. You know, people are tired. You want to pray and go home and all that. See, the mind has three natures. The first nature of the mind is what you call your conscious mind. That is, the mind is like a transmitter. You are conscious. You can see things. You are aware of us through your feelings, taste, all the five senses. They walk through your mind. That's how your mind works on the earth. That's your conscious mind. Now, there is the unconscious mind. When you are sleeping, it's also awake. When your natural conscious is suspended, either in a vision, in a dream, or when you are sleeping, your mind is not sleeping. It's still functioning. That is the unconscious realm of your mind. Now, the loin of your mind is the highest dimension of that unconscious nature. And that is where thoughts, ideas are brought forth. That's what the Bible calls the loins of the mind. Do you understand? The loins, you bring forth life. You bring forth purposes. It's the seat of strength. You understand? Now, it is that loins of the mind that the devil has brought darkness. That's where the devil has colonized and made his kingdom. Alright? So, when the scripture says, how do you deal with it? That is the peace offering. Because in the peace offering, you don't bring blood. It's not a sin offering. It's not that you're quarreling with your neighbor. It's not a trespass offering. It's not a burnt offering where you bring every part of it. Yeah, that's the consecration. You're giving yourself to God. Okay? It's not even a fellowship offering where you are relating with your brethren. It is a peace offering where you bring the inward part, the kidney, the fat, and you give it to God. What are you saying? God, the inward part of me, my thoughts, I give to you. My natures, I give to you. So that is the offering. So it says, present yourself as a living sacrifice, which is your daily and acceptable worship. Do you understand? So the only person who can bring the offering is you, because your mind is the priest. So that's what we should be doing. That is what our emphasis should be. But in this thing we are doing Old Testament in the time of the New. We come here and sit down and say we have brought offering. It's not offering. The offering is their inward part. What? Yes, it's truth. It's truth, yes. It's the one at the entrance of the word. You understand? Meditation of the word. Thinking about the word. Chewing on the word. Chewing the cord. That's how to hide. Say, what have I hid in my heart? You understand? So, you need to let the word of God enter you. It dwell in you. Receive the word of God. Receive the light of God. And not just receive, walk in it also. It becomes part of you. So, there must be truth in the inward part. Okay, we don't have time, just summarizing, we don't have time to look at it, but just take it before the Lord. I'm sure we will have a time when we can go explain it with a lot of scripture, but try and look at it. That is the new covenant. It says that it is to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Okay, so that is the new covenant. And that is the offering we should be bringing now. It says we bring the sacrifice of our lips. You understand? It's, as a man speaketh, that's how he thinketh within his heart. The out of the things that define a man are the things that come out of him, not the things that are outside. You understand? So the new covenant is dealing with the inward part. Your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, my desires, the things I have done today, all as I'm walking, those are worship. It's not coming here. Although here is important. Because it gives you a platform to meet with other people. Amen. So, we need to shift our emphasis inwardly. We need to look inward. We're not saying that you should not come together, but in coming together, we must first of all say, offer ourselves to the Lord, then we can give our worship. So those brethren, they first of all gave of themselves to the Lord, then they brought their other things. Sometimes it's difficult for us to even give offering because we have not given ourselves to the Lord. Amen. So you will see it, you know, in the scripture. So that is the new covenant, and that is the Passover, because the darkness within is changing and the true light is now shining. So for you to be born again, the blood must be applied in your mind. That's what quickens your mind and quickens your spirit. Your spirit is alive to God, but the soul must be changed, and that is the new covenant, you know. So that's what we are saying, and it is a journey. One day, say, I'll not drive them out all in one day. It's one day until it's like a light that shines in a dark place and shines brighter and brighter until the day dawns, you know. So that's the part of the righteous, like a shining light, brighter and brighter until the day dawns. Praise God.